it's Thursday, and it's Rumor Innuendo, and I am mad. I'm mad, Robert. I'm really mad. I'm so mad. Madness, Robert. Robert Karpolis here, WE Creative _ist. Are you mad, too?
Wow, that was some acting right there from Dominic D'Angelo. Am I mad? I am mad, because it sounds like the landscapers are working right outside my house. So if we hear that, I apologize that the Mexicools have arrived in their riding mowers. And they're coming for revenge, because I was unfortunately a part of creative when the Mexicools was a thing. But you know what I'm not mad about? I'm not mad about the fine folks joining us live in the chat. We got Christopher Zanto saying CEO, CEO, CEO. Good morning, y'all. We will be talking Mercedes Monet. We've also got Antonio Santos, who says, I think Mercedes is stuck on repeat. As I said, we're going to talk about Mercedes and Lou. 4237, do we know what those numbers mean? No, we don't. Mm-mm. But we still say, he says, greetings and salutations on this week's day of Thor. Sure.
We're happy. Reference, maybe?
I couldn't tell you. At the end of the day, guys, we know, look, today is March Madness, so you're already finding ways to skip work. My favorite thing about March Madness, and I work remotely now, so it's a different world. But when I worked in an office and you tried to stream March Madness, there was that little boss button, which was my favorite thing. I used that when I was at WWE watching March Madness. Yes. And you click on it and it used to open like a fake Excel file or something like that. So in case somebody walked by, you could click this. And there's like a history of it online that one of the websites did a couple years ago. It's fascinating. It's amazing. It's not why we're here today. We are here to talk a whole bunch of stuff, Dom. Dom, what do we have on tap?
Yeah, we got our own madness to talk about. We got the AEW Dynamite, what happened, what went down. Edge was pretty mad, too. But we also have Dave Meltzer had a little interesting comments after the show I want to touch upon. LA Knight had some comments on Busted Open Radio. John Cena continues to tease WrestleMania and has a little fun with Kenny Omega. Plus, SmackDown GM Nick Aldis injured. What's going to happen? We'll talk about that, too. But yeah, Robert, let's kick it off with the AEW Dynamite, hailing from Toronto. And sure enough, the main event match was Christian Cage versus Adam Copeland in an I Quit match. And Christian Cage, he quit. So pretty wild main event. Lots of creative spots, I would say, by Edge and Christian. That seemed
by Adam Copeland.
Oh, thank you.
By the Cope himself, Adam Copeland, not Edge. Edge, you know, retired in Toronto against Sheamus on a fantastic SmackDown main event in front of his hometown Torontoans, Torontonians, Toronites, San Diegans.
Well, wait,
breaking match, news, Robert. Breaking news, Lou. Oh. 4237, the 42 has to do with Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which is great because I will be turning 42 this year, and I'm very much looking forward to being able to use that reference. And 37 is a Clerks reference, which is one of my all-time favorite films. So thank you so much for that, Lou. Thank you so much, Dom, for teeing up the main event of Dynamite. What did you think of that main event there, Dom?
I actually liked it. I did not think they did anything super duper wild that was just like crazy and made you scratch your head or kind of took you out of the element of like, oh my God, are they really hurt? What's going on? I was along for the ride, I think, for the most part. And, you know, I thought maybe the ending a little bit with all the interference and that kind of stuff, it makes sense and stuff. I ultimately would just like to see them go straight up one-on-one. But yeah, kind of had to expect that with Christian being a heel and all. And so, but yeah, I thought the finish was cool and creative. And yeah, ultimately, like, kind of the pacing of what I want to see, like, AEW kind of exude a little bit more. Robert, what are your thoughts?
So, we said this yesterday that I Quit matches in general suck. Mm-hmm. And to a degree, yes, this match kind of sucked for some of those reasons. First of all, is the pacing of the match. You're waiting for the referee to stick a microphone in someone's mouth, you get that labored breathing. And for some reason, let's not ever do that again. Let's make a promise right here and right now.
I'll wait for Blue Chew.
Even then, no. We do not need to hear Dominic D'Angelo breathing heavily into the microphone. We also don't ever need to hear Bryce Remsburg again. Bryce, I'm not a fan of Mr. Remsburg's reffing. I think he makes it too much about him and not the match. And hearing him yell out their names over and over was just frustrating. it was odd that whenever it was Copeland, there were long pauses before he would say no. And the announcers didn't know what to do with that silence. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, is he just unable to respond? It wasn't building further drama. It just led to confusion. So from that perspective, I didn't love it. There was a lot of hockey, and we've said on here before, hockey and wrestling together, man, I don't need it. And yet it won't leave me alone.
Nope.
It was a little too cutesy with the jerseys. This is supposed to be a blood feud. These guys want to kill each other, but now we have time to put hockey jerseys on in the middle of a match. Didn't love that. The finish, repeated shots to the nuts, and then the stick with spikes on it, which, guys, came from Collision. So for the 15 of you that watched Collision, you were totally familiar with what's going on. The rest of us, I had no clue. They pull out this case, and like, is there a bazooka in there?
A bazooka.
It looks like the case that they have where, like, you open it up and there's like a bazooka, like a Mission Impossible kind of situation. So it was a little bizarre.
Yeah, I can definitely understand those thoughts too, because, yeah, you know, if you're having a blood feud with one another and you're taking time to put on hockey jerseys, like, look, Christian literally like grabbed the jersey and started putting it on while he's supposed to be like hurt and stuff like that. And it was just like, you could have made it make more sense if Christian did it first, put it on, and then Edge beats him up, puts his on, and then they start fighting. Maybe that would have made more sense. But yeah, some of the logistical stuff when it comes to an I Quit match, I can certainly understand. I think I just overall like, in the pacing of it, I do see that point too, but I do like the overall feel of that kind of match and how they presented it ultimately, I think, because it's something I think AEW needs to kind of hone in a little bit more on, is kind of slowing things down a little bit. So, any other thoughts before we move on to the rest of Dynamite there, Robert?
The finish, I guess, made sense. This feud is hopefully dead and gone, and we can move on going forward. It did feel weird when it's like, here comes Matt Menard for the save.
Yeah, that did feel weird.
All due respect to Zaddy Magic, when I'm listing out the guys who really could use that moment to shine in a big match, Matt Menard probably not within my top 100.
Yep. Hey, somebody that is in a lot of people's top 10 would be Mercedes Moné. And she opened the show and had a moment with Tony Schiavone in there and just kind of reiterated about herself and did like a little video package. Felt a little weird, I think, Robert, but let me get your perspective on that.
Yeah, so Mercedes going out there and showing a highlight package of what happened a week prior feels like a hell of a heel move. That feels like I'm going to show you all of my great highlights to play with Lou's thing before. Clerks, the animated series, which is an underrated classic, their entire second episode is a highlight show of the first episode.
Oh my God.
Which is a great joke. And that's almost what this felt like here. Like, I'm going to show you a retrospective. And a lot of it was just like her showing up a week ago. I guess they felt they needed to reintroduce who Mercedes Moné was to this audience. Maybe they feel that's why the numbers were so soft a week prior, that they aren't familiar with who she is. I'm glad they again established the Mercedes Willow situation that happened and made it make more sense. The whole her foot, you know, got broken, her career was going to be over. So there is a history there. Whereas last week they just sort of assumed we as the audience knew what the hell was going on. Yeah. And I, you know, barely remembered that the two of them had wrestled previously. So that was fine. Mercedes has never been accused of being a great promo. And when she doesn't have motivation, it's even more lost in the woods. And that's kind of what I felt like we were getting here. It was repetitive in some regards. I know somebody said there before, it felt like she was in a rerun. I'm not terribly excited to see her going up against Sky Blue and Julia Hart. Not terribly excited of the intrigue of whose side is Willow on. I get that you can't just throw her into the world title picture. You have to heat her up a little bit. You have to bring her in slowly. But at the same time, we all know it's a case of like first feud syndrome. And we just kind of have to get through it. Am I being too harsh on this, Dom, or are you sort of on the same page?
I'm pretty much on the same page, I think. I don't, you know, it did feel like a kind of a rerun of last week of when she introduced herself. And then they had that backstage segment with her, Chris Statlander, Willow, and Stokely. And I thought there was some intrigue between her and Chris, but they were more on the friendly basis of things than anything else. And I was like, that would be a good kind of start for her, is to go up against somebody like Statlander, who can certainly hold her own in there. And sure. So that kind of intrigued me a little bit. I did like that dynamic of like, okay, well, I like you, but I don't like you. And so that was kind of nice. But overall, yeah, it's tough. It kind of just speaks to the level of, they've had months, years, you could argue, to build up their women's division, and you put Mercedes in there. You don't have anybody to that level heated up enough to make it seem that, okay, I want to see this big time, you know? I think it just kind of speaks to what the presentation has been these past several years with AEW and some of their missteps. Somebody who is not missing a step on the mic is Will Ospreay. I was blown away again by his promo this week and his presentation. Great dynamic with Tony Schiavone. Made me feel like classic kind of WCW interviews and stuff like that. It kind of brought back, it charged up a lot of those kind of feelings and stuff. Well, what did you think of Will Ospreay round two here again this week?
Well, bruv, look, this guy he connects with the crowd in a way that you really haven't seen anybody do in AEW. It feels natural. It feels organic. It feels earned. Anything he talks about, anything he says generates a pop. I absolutely love that, that aspect of it. I also love the fact that he's able to get you excited about the Bryan Danielson match without one guy necessarily turning heel. Mm-hmm. It's that line about, you're not going to be able to fit into my shoes, I thought was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it was great. And yeah, I mean, even just him entering, I just watched like the entrance of him coming out, and boom, just immediate energy there with the crowd, with himself. And then, yeah, with Tony Schiavone, but then he had some stuff to say. And him and Shibata is gonna take place next week. So I thought it was very, very well done. Yeah, more Will Ospreay. Definitely somebody that they should put right at the top of the card constantly and always put over, because yeah, he could be your ambassador that you're looking for since you lost Cody years back and stuff. Let's see. Oh, somebody that I don't know how you feel about this, Robert, but Eddie Kingston versus Okada. He is the Continental Champion, the new Continental Champion. Was a good match. But I kind of had the feeling Okada's just there still, right?
It didn't light my world on fire. I think it was a fine match. It was the expected outcome. I think part of my confusion with it, if I'm perfectly honest, is the fact that Eddie holds the Triple Crown title and that they can be broken apart. Mm-hmm. Didn't realize that was going to be the case. I felt like this was sort of, it feels like the Power Rangers when all the different robots go together to form one super robot. I didn't realize you can pull them apart and have different components to it. That felt a little strange, a little bizarre, but the match was okay. The crowd didn't know necessarily how to respond. They want to cheer Okada because, hey, we're seeing Okada. Okada and Eddie Kingston is fine. The Young Bucks component of it, the fact that they're like, oh, we're going to be producing your match, we got the headphones on, and then they didn't do anything.
Yeah.
I thought maybe what we were going to see was piped in crowd chants to try to distract Eddie, or making the announcers say something that they're not supposed to say. I wasn't entirely certain what was going on here, but it was really strange. To add that wrinkle and then not do anything with it.
Yeah, I agree. It was, he has a title. It was a good match, I think. But I mean, it's just, another title. You got the Continental title. Then you have the International title. Now you have the TNT title. Then you also have the World title. Then name another title. There's plenty of them. It's just like another one to kind of worry about. And I don't know. It just, they got to find the right rhythm for Okada. And I think that's going to be a challenge and uphill, because they started off, I think, not on the best foot of things with him. So on the
day. They do, but yeah, he feels like a guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's not what you want. That's the problem they've run into with Copeland's problem. They've run into with Danielson. Kind of almost feels like they're already at that point with Mercedes.
Yes, it does. And I think that's been an ongoing issue with AEW sometimes. So tag match also happened was Toni Storm and Maria May. Thank you, Mariah May.
That's why I'm here. I'm mainly here to protect the integrity of the pronunciation of Mariah May's name.
Always, Wait till I talk about Takeshita.
Is that Takeshita.
Takeshita, dang it. Oh, man. Deonna Purrazzo and Thunder Rosa teamed up to face Toni Storm and Mariah May in a tag team match. I thought this was – Deonna gets a lot of criticism for her mic work, but yes. I thought she's really, really good in the ring. And, you know, Thunder Rosa was the one that got the W here, and they showed a little tension between those two. Good tag match. What's kind of next here? I'm wondering. It's just,
It feels like they set up Deonna Purrazzo was the last number one contender. Thunder Rosa now back on Dynamite, bringing up the fact that she never lost her women's title. She had to relinquish it due to injury. So her getting the pin on Toni Storm now sets up that tension between her and Deonna. Who's going to get the next shot? Neither one of them is going to win. We both know that. We know that the idea is we're going to heat Toni Storm up to eventually feed her to Mercedes Moné. But this was the proper way to use a tag match. You had somebody pin the champion. Now they instantly are elevated as a challenger. The match itself was totally fine. I like Mariah May's presentation as Junior Toni Storm. And, Thunder Rosa and Toni Storm is going to be perfect for AEW Dynasty.
There you go. Nice. See, you got it. There we go. Did you get Chris Jericho versus Hook? Or what did you think of that? I know.
I got more than enough Chris Jericho versus Hook. Look, guys, before this match, Hook was just a dude. He was just a guy on the roster. But the minute that he pinned Chris Jericho, he became a superstar. No. Jericho, in his mind, thinking that he's elevating talent that don't need his elevation, is kind of hilarious. Him losing to Hobbs did not ignite Hobbs's career. Him losing to Action Andretti sure as hell didn't ignite Action Andretti's career. Him losing to Orange Cassidy didn't help Orange Cassidy significantly in any way, shape, or form. The strange thing about this match is it started off with a bunch of suplexes and felt like we were going to get that Brock Lesnar, John Cena SummerSlam match where it was going to be 100% offense from one guy and zero from another guy. That was not the case. Jericho got knocked loopy, dropped on his head. It seemed like he was done. Then he fought back for a while and Hook won with a fluke. And that's supposed to elevate Hook. This Jericho vanity project situation, like he needs to go. Dumb. He needs to go back to I was gonna say Canada. They were already in Canada. They could have just left him there. They could have just left Chris. Why is this a one-way ticket? And like the Festival of Friendship with him and Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Like, why is my name not on the return flight? Sorry, Chris. You're back in Canada. If you guys want to be back in fighting form, you guys want to be back in the shape that Jericho was in back when he was the original Lionheart. We're talking WCW Chris Jericho when he was able to go 45 minutes an hour Broadway every night. May we recommend our friends at Blue Chew. Yes, this episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Visit BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you are approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. Guys, we've been bagging on Chris Jericho. We think back to that Chris Jericho of the past because that Jericho of the past was somebody we love. We love seeing the performance, the fire that Chris Jericho had. And if you want to get that fire back, we're going to send you to Blue Chew because Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code Rumor at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Rumor to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this episode of Rumor and Innuendo.
Yes, don't choke in the bedroom at all with Blue Chew. Do, however, Swerve Strickland didn't choke Samoa Joe this week.
Wow, that was so, that was
smooth. Probably the worst one.
Silky smooth Dominic D'Angelo. I'll let you, you got they, this.
Okay, so Swerve Strickland was threatening to choke out Samoa Joe. That's on his game plan. And he had an open challenge and the Butcher came out. And it was pretty much a glorified kind of squash match for the Butcher and Swerve. I love the Butcher, by the way. But what did you think of this and the setup more for Samoa Joe and leading towards that? And then Takeshita will be Swerve's challenger next week.
Nice job pronouncing his name. Yes, this was fine. Using the Butcher in this role as a guy to get, you know, big, impressive dude, but he's going to lose clean to bolster Swerve with a submission win, then set up Swerve and Takeshita next week. Don't love Don Callis being involved in a world title feud, but I'm willing to accept what's going to be a hell of a match next week. They're clearly trying to pull all of the levers to drive eyeballs to Dynamite. So we've got that. We've got Ospreay and Shibata next week as well, and hopefully a Mercedes Moné backstage segment and not an in-ring promo.
Yes, I agree with that. So yeah, overall I thought it was a pretty decent Dynamite. Embers of promise, I think, in certain aspects of how they're handling themselves and maybe moving forward. A little bit more entertainment kind of presentation when it comes to things, I think, but we'll see how it goes, I guess. Meltzer kind of felt that their AEW's doing a little bit too much WWE in certain ways. And he kind of said basically Mercedes Moné, when she came out, that is not right or wrong. It's just 100-degree different approaches. She came out, the whole segment to me felt like WWE, which is not a dirty word. It just felt like WWE. She's out there doing her dance. And then basically says that it's very scripted like WWE. Of course, Jennifer Pepperman probably wrote that promo for her. I'm watching this going like it feels very WWE, very produced. Then he mentions Will Ospreay comes out and feels completely different. It's what I would say New Japan without the swear words. And then he also said, but I watched, I'm going like, this feels like watching WWE. And when I'm watching AEW, I will say it feels more WWE-ish than the last couple of weeks. There's no surprise with Jennifer Pepperman and other people in there. Robert, what do you kind of think of those comments? Do you think Meltzer's hitting some points here? Or I kind of think that's a good thing. They're kind of seeming a little bit more like WWE because the WWE's been a little more buttoned up.
They are a little more buttoned up. It was a way to keep Mercedes at least on the tracks with what she was going to say. Again, she's not a dynamic promo, so giving her a bullet points, I was going to say give her a script, but probably not a full script, but giving her bullet points, having her do her routine, that's what people are there for. They're going to enjoy that presentation. She will feel like a star, hopefully a little bit longer because of that. There's nothing wrong with aping that WWE style. Ospreay is a guy who can get away with the more loosey-goosey kind of promo, but he's a very rare breed. He's somebody who can get what that crowd needs and feel like they're connected with him. We've seen other guys go out there and they get lost in a hurry and it becomes a bit of a challenge. Speaking of challenges, I apologize. I am going to have to drop a few minutes early here. Got something I have to go run and do. So we are going to have to cut not only Billy and the CW, but all the other new stuff that we'll save for tomorrow. We're going to talk LA Knight, talk the Cena Kenny Omega thing, talk Nick Aldis and his bicep injury. Get well soon. But before we go, Dom, what do you want to plug real quick?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'll be recording a new episode of Straight Talk with the Boss, Greg Gagne, Magnum TA. You can go to GagneandMagnum.com, tune into that, check out the latest episode. Then also go to RVDTV.com. I'm recording live. Go to his YouTube channel, too, and you can tune in live tonight for a live recording of the episode. So be sure to do that. We might have a special guest on there. I'm not going to spoiler alert, but check that out, RVDTV.com, Rob's YouTube. Other than that, you can find me at scscoops.com and you can follow me on X at Dominic D'Angelo. Robert, what do you got to plug here real quick before we go?
You can follow me on X at WWCreative_ISH. That's where you can catch this show streaming, as well as at Dominic D'Angelo's X account, SE Scoops' X account, Podcast Heat. Podcast Heat is who makes this show possible. Rumor and Innuendo and ad-free shows YouTube. So on behalf in an abbreviated sense by Mr. Dominic D'Angelo, I'm Robert Karpolis. Best of luck in your future endeavors.
See you Friday.